are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
Thank you. I breathe your holy presence given to me, your very word spoken to me. It's the necessity for sustaining our very lives. It all comes from you. I want to thank my brothers and sisters for sharing today, for being with us, for praying as we think about the opening again of church. We heard the president's comments, and we're not going to be in a hurry to move beyond any faster than our plan called for. We want to keep people moving. We want to keep people safe. We want people to enjoy the opportunities and privileges that God gives. And yet at the same time, we need to be able to worship. We haven't stopped worshiping, and we won't stop worshiping because of what's going on in our scripture text for today. Just a moment, you'll know why you must always and continue to worship. If you stop, this circumstances is not going to stop. So I want to invite you to join me now in a moment of prayer as we prepare our hearts for what the Lord will say to us in our time that remains. Father, we're thankful, we're grateful. We're grateful for your faithfulness, for your holiness, for your immutability, your unchanging nature, for your omniscience, for your omnipotence, for your ever-presence. And God, we are celebrating today you. We thank you for blessing us with another week. You brought us safely from our last gathering to this very moment. You've kept us from hurt, harm, and danger, that we could see and that we cannot see. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to be with us, to help us, to hold us, to keep us by your keeping power. Pray now that you would lift again your human out of self and fill us freshly with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us and speak through us in this moment of sharing, and bless now the words that are in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, bless now. With you there is a word, without you there is no word. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We ask it now in the name of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. Last time we talked about that we wanted to begin a series, and last week we started the book of James. We just kind of did a little bit of an introduction, and the series it's going to be titled Benefits That We Receive From Trouble, or Benefits That We Gain From Trouble. And I think it's a helpful and timely message for the days in which we're living in. And last week, in the first installment, we talked about the purpose of trials, or the purpose of test. So this morning, I wanted to look again at the book of James, chapter 1. And I want to read just a couple of verses. I walked out and left my eyes. And so I want to be able to see this. Bring me some eyes up here. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Thank God for help. I want to read through verse 12, starting in verse 2. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to them. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting or wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised them that love him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Today I want to talk about moving from trouble to triumph. Moving from trouble to triumph. Now, it goes without saying that trouble is everywhere, doesn't it? And I think all of us are all too familiar with trouble. But the issue is, how does one handle the trouble that comes into their life? And what I want to help you understand is, it becomes an indication of your faith. It becomes a true indication as to whether or not you have real faith, and whether that real faith is strong, or whether you have weak faith and that faith doesn't really exist. The truth is that this is a great starting place to help us to understand a reasonable and a simple lesson that everybody who lives in the world is going to have some trouble. Amen. You do remember Job, right? We know Job went through all of the trials, but Job said in the book of Job, he said, man that is born of a woman is but of a few days and full of trouble. And Job wasn't the only one who weighed in on that. The psalm of David cried out. David, he cried out to God so much throughout the psalm. But in one particular passage in Psalm 22, David said, be not far from me, God. He said, for trouble is all around me. Yeah, David did not want to go through the experience of life without having God present, because he knew that wherever he went, trouble was everywhere. I noticed something as I read through the psalm. I noticed that the psalm never said, deliver me from trouble, because he knew that that wasn't possible. But he always said, be with me in trouble. When I get in trouble, I just need to know that you're there with me. It's not a question of whether or not trouble is going to come. It's the question of, is God with you when trouble comes? I tell you, man, everybody knows a little trouble, even in marriages. Marriage is trouble. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm not talking about y'all that's in here, because yours are so wonderful, but they are trouble. Let me tell you why marriages are trouble. Because number one, you think about you. You think about you trying to deal with you. And here's another person in that house who's trying to be them. And two sinful people trying to be themselves creates tension. Even Jesus did not avoid trouble. Jesus had trouble. And he said one day to his disciples, you have been with me in my troubles. So everywhere, everybody who lives on the earth in any circumstance will go through trouble. Sometimes the trouble is easier than other times, but it still comes. Sometimes trouble comes from disappointments. Sometimes trouble comes from persecutions. Sometimes trouble comes from in-laws and outlaws. Sometimes the trouble is inside. Sometimes the trouble is outside. But trouble is going to come. And the question is, how do we deal with trouble? Listen to how James began. Now, you remember James is writing to the Jewish people, to the Jewish Christians, should I say, that are part of the diaspora, that are the spread out. Now you got to know from a historical standpoint that the Jews were moved and removed from the land of Palestine in at least three different circumstances. The first time the Jews were removed from the land of Palestine, it was the 10 tribes who were carried away into captivity by the Assyrians. And they never returned. So they were already out there. And then, of course, you do know that King Nebuchadnezzar came and the Babylonians, and they carried away a lot of the southern kingdom into Babylon. Some few of them returned. But many of them were left scattered. And you got to know that even in the New Testament, as the New Testament began to unfold, after the earthly ministry of Jesus, after the day of Pentecost, when the church was fully established, there broke out a persecution among the Christians, led by one whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And it caused the Jews to spread out into various locations. We see that they came from all of those places. We saw that in Acts chapter 2, from Pontus and Cappadocia and Asia and Minor and all of those places they had come. So the Jews were spread out everywhere. Now, James does not get into what kind of trial or challenges or trouble these various Jews in the various locations were facing. And I'm glad that he didn't. Because he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into divers, that is, various kinds of troubles. So rather than enumerate what was particularly or unique to that particular Jews, he just categorizes it as divers or various kinds of troubles. And that include all of us, because all of us have various kinds of troubles. Sometimes it's a little trouble. Sometimes it's a lot of trouble. Sometimes it's constant trouble. Sometimes it's a little fragmented trouble. And then there are times and moments in our life when we feel that we've gotten it together and we think that we have avoided trouble, only to find out it's just waiting around the next corner. So we various troubles. And the word, the Greek word for various here, are divers. Temptations, and that I really hate that word temptation, because it's really not a temptation. It's really a trial. It's a trial. A temptation is a solicitation to sin. And James is not talking about a solicitation to do wrong. He's talking about the testing that comes into human lives as a result of the various kinds of circumstances that come up. And what I like about that word, divers or various, is the word for multicolored. So just as you can have multicolored clothing, you can have multicolored trials. They come in various sizes, various shapes, various situations, but they come. And that's the point of it all, that they come. They came for the Jews in the diaspora, and they have come, troubles that is, to every one of us in every generation. And they will continue to come. And the point that James is trying to make is that your faith is going to be tested. And God has a right to test your faith. And if you come out of the trial, okay, and you pass the test, then it demonstrates that you have genuine faith. And if you fail the test and don't come out of the test, all right, it means that you have no faith. As a matter of fact, one writer said one of the ways in which you can test a Christian or find out whether or not a person is a true Christian is give them a little trouble. You know, hot water. Somebody know about hot water. Somebody said you put a woman in hot water, she'll make tea. But you put a man in hot water and he'll just be clean. You put a Christian in hot water and you're going to find out about his faith. You're going to find out whether his faith is genuine or whether his faith is not genuine. And so this is what James is talking about. Count it all joy. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Because that speaks of the howness of going through the trial. But the point that I want to make first is that trials do come. And they're designed to test you. Last time when we talked about the purpose of trials, we gave 8 particular kinds of situations that trials will reveal to us. Trials can reveal the strength and weakness of our faith. Trial can come sometimes to humble us. Trials sometimes come to wean us away from worldliness and our reliance on the world. Sometimes trials come to give us a heavenly perspective. Sometimes trials come to show us what we really love and who we really love. Sometimes trials come to help us to understand that God could make us more useful by going through something. Sometimes trials come because when we overcome those trials, we find ourselves in a better position to comfort somebody else when they're going through their trials. Hello, somebody. All of those are reasons that trials come. But I want you to understand that every trouble that comes into your life and every trial, whether it's a big one or a little one, becomes a test. And if you pass the test, you're going to demonstrate that your faith is real. Now, let me go back to this idea of the difference between a trial and a temptation. A temptation is designed to seduce you into some kind of activity that moves you away from God. But a trial, a test, is just there to test the validity of your faith. God never seduces us to move away from Him. God is always trying to draw us into a closer relationship with Himself. So the test that comes in life, and it's just unfortunate that the way the translators have translated this passage by using the word temptation. It's not temptation, it is trial. Now, go to the end of this passage right here. We're at verse 2 now, but go to the end of the passage and you'll be in verse 12. And in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation or trial. See, again, it's not a word there that is designed to seduce people, because if that was the case, then verse 12 would be reading, blessed is the man who resists temptation, who runs from the seductive kind of thing. That's not what this is about. But blessed is the man who endures the temptation. Now, because that's what demonstrates where the realness of one's faith is. And you and I have known people who have joined the church, who have come to church, and who have become part, were baptized and something, and then something happened. A trial come into life. And consequently, they are no more to be found. Now, what does that mean? It means that their faith really wasn't genuine. Sometimes that kind of trial can come from a disappointment in a relationship. A girl tells a guy, you're not my type, or go on your way, I'm not interested in you. And a guy walks away with his heart broken, and he never returns again to God's house because he feels embarrassed because of what has happened. Sometimes a trial come and a person, a family member dies. And there have been so many people who have shook their fists at God because God did not preserve their particular life at that particular moment. And that became a trial. And what it becomes is, when it depends on your reaction. If you hang in there and stay with it, it becomes a test that you ultimately pass. But if you give in to it and you fall away from it, it becomes a test, a temptation that lures you away from God. So listen at what James is saying here. He's given us these two verses. He's given us verse 2, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then in verse 12, he uses these two verses as brackets to cement in between verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. In there, he describes the how to go through your trial. But look at what he says in verse 12, because I want you to see how verse 12 and verse 2 are tied together. There are three words in verse 12. There are three words in verses 2 and 3. There's the word testing. Well, you trial first, you're going to have trial. Count it all my joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials. And then verse 3, he said, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. All right, he says the same thing in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endureth trials or temptation, for when he is tested. So those are those words. Those are the three words. Is the word trial, it's the word test, and it's the word endure. So those are three things that we're going to face in life. You're going to be tested to see if you're going to endure. And if you endure, you're going to find yourself on the winning end. But if you fail the test, you're going to find out that your faith is not where it all needs to be. And there are so many passages of scripture that we could bring to bear on these three matters today. On the testing, on the trial, the nature of the trial, and the ability to endure. What is it about enduring a trial that's so important? I'll tell you what it is. It's called crashing through quitting points. Because trials will cause you to want to quit. There are some things that you can go through in life that will cause you to want to throw up your hands and say, no more, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this no more, I don't want to be bothered, I can't handle it, and you will quit. Now, I sometimes walk. I used to run, but I had old injury there, causes my knees to swell, so I don't run anymore. But I do remember, man, when I was running, sometimes you run and your legs just feel like pins are in them. And just feel like you can't go another step. See, that's a quitting point. But endurance say, you push it just a little bit more to prove that the quitting point is not a brick wall, but it's truly tissue paper. A quitting point on a job is when you have become frustrated in that occupation and your job, your boss continues to bring something and put else on your desk. And you say to yourself, if they put one more thing on my desk, that's going to be it. I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let them have it. That's a quitting point. But you got to be able to endure, to press through the quitting point. Quitting points come in relationships. You and your wife or you and your spouse have the same argument over the same issue time and time again. And you say to yourself, man, if we have one more argument like that, that's going to be it. And television highlights that. Television movies highlight that quitting point. And they glorify the quitting point. Because on a television series, here's a man and a woman, they're having an argument, and you just see the body language going back and forth like that. And then all of a sudden, the music dies down, and it begins to build with a crescendo. And just at that moment, she slaps him, turns around, and walks out the door. And that's what every woman in America says. That's how I want to do it, just like that. But what they don't show is the other side of that. They don't show the children now who are not able to be fed appropriately. They don't show the heartbreak and the struggle that still exists. That just because the quit took place doesn't mean that there was healing for the brokenness in their heart. But what television won't glorify, the Bible glorifies. The Bible says, blessed. Happy, deeply satisfied in one's heart, the one who endures the temptation and moves it to its rightful conclusion. That man or woman is going to receive the crown of life. And the crown of life is not just laid up for one or two. It's the reward that God gives to everyone that endures, that moves from trouble to triumph, that moves from disappointment to where I'm all right again. We can't stop the cycles of life. Life is going to present its challenges. Life is going to bring to your life and to my life and to everyone's life those various kinds of situations. The issue is, how do we respond? Do we respond with a joyous attitude? Endurance is not just gritting my teeth and I took it. I ain't like it, but I took it. No, that's not what James is saying here. James said, when you go through what you go through, he said, count it all joy. That means you, if you're going to make it through a trial, you have to learn how to develop a joyous attitude. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is not the same as happiness. I don't have to be happy about the trial that I go through, but I still can have a joyous attitude about it. I still can be satisfied deeply in my soul because I know that I'm an overcomer. And when I know that I'm an overcomer, I know that I'm not going to quit because I know that God has ordered a wide variety of circumstances to show up into my life to help me to become who He wants me to be. I could never be who God wants me to be with me ordering things, because if I gotta order it, it won't show up on the menu. But God in His wisdom orders various things and circumstances and situations because He knows what's necessary to develop me. Man, I wouldn't know that I had certain strength if I didn't have to go through something that I've gone through. I wouldn't know that God is a healer if I had never been sick. I wouldn't know that He's a way maker if the way had never been blocked. I wouldn't know that He's a comforter unless my heart had been broken in sorrow. I wouldn't know that the Lord would be a friend who would stick closer than a brother unless I had been abandoned by those who I thought were my friends. I wouldn't know that God would be the preacher inside of the preacher unless I've had to come to the pulpit at times when I wasn't totally prepared. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We know that God is a teacher unless I've had to stand and teach and have the Holy Spirit reveal freshly truths as God give it to us. It's all because of the trial. It's all because of the test. Last week we talked about Abraham and the most severe test that anybody could go through. God put that man through that test. I'm glad that He didn't order that test for me, because I never would have gotten to the first part of it. I would have said, God, wait now, I can't do that. But He knows which ones I need. And He knows which ones you need. And so you don't look around and compare yourself to anyone else, because God does what we used to call in school IEPs, individual education plans. Oh, God, man, you are awesome. He does it. He lines up stuff just for you. He lines up stuff just for me. He lines up stuff just for somebody else. When I look at somebody else's trial, I throw my hand up and say, I couldn't do that. But then I look at my own set of circumstances, and I realize that, God, you have done this just for me. So when I recognize, see, what I want you to understand is you have to pay attention to the uniqueness of the trial that God orders for you. Because there's something in that. When you understand where God is trying to take you, He's trying to take you from trouble to triumph. And He's doing it in a sequential way. And you learn that when I look at what God has brought into my life, I can count that joy, because I can know this. See, knowing this means this is a mental thing. Knowing that the testing of my faith is going to produce something in me. It's going to produce patience. It's going to produce not just patience. It's going to produce that endurance. So there are two sides on this thing. There's the side that God has, and God is going to preserve his children. But then there's my side of it, and I've got to endure it. I got to be able to go through it. And when I go through it, I shouldn't go through it pulling my hair. I shouldn't go through it walking and shaking my hand. I should go through it counting it all joy, because that's my attitude. But in my head, I know that God is doing a work. He's doing a great work. He that began a good work in you will complete it. And I know that he's working patience in me. Now, some people used to say, well, I sure wish I had the patience of Job. No, you don't want the patience of Job, because you don't want the trouble of Job. And it was the trouble that Job went through that produced the patience in him. And sometimes we want the benefit, but we don't want the trial. But you can't get the benefit without having the trial. So you got to go through it. So take a look at where you are right now. Take a look at what's in front of you. What trouble is challenging your life now? And look at what God is doing. He's moving you. He does not intend for you to stay at that place of trouble. He's intending to move you from that place of trouble to the place of victory, the place of triumph in your life. And in the process, you're going to develop some things. Look at verse 3. He says, knowing that the trouble that God has brought into my life is at work on me, is trying my faith, is putting my faith to the test, is demonstrating that I am true blue. Because when I come through it, see, in verse 12, the man who endures the temptation, see, is not the person on that side that comes through temptation that said, "Phew, I made it." No, it's the man who comes through that temptation raising his hands in victory because he endured. It's the victor's raising of his hand. Sometimes when I'm on my computer, I play little games because I want to keep my mind sharp. And problem-solving games would do that. Sometimes they throw some stuff at you. They throw little tricks in the game. And many people become frustrated and they close it down and never finish it. Now, I know no one is looking over my shoulder. I know no one is at the end of the game to do anything. I'm not going through what I'm going through for the benefit of someone else. But I go through the trial and the challenge and the game for my own benefit. And every time I go through one of those difficult challenges and come out on the other side, I gain a lot more confidence. And I say to myself, and I apply it to life, just as I got through that, I'll get through what I'm looking at right now. And every time I go through a physical trial in my life and come out on the other side of it, it gives me that much more confidence that I'll get through the next one. Do you understand that, you know, when I was principal of school, I used to have parents come to the school, and even some teachers, some students, I don't want to be in Ms. Jones' class. She's so mean. And I said, I'm not going to move that child. And they said, why won't you move? And I said, because you will rob that child of the great lesson that he or she needs to learn. What if when they get older, they have to work for someone of that personality type? Or what if ultimately they end up being married to someone of that personality type, and you have tried to go around the personality type that God was ultimately trying to prepare you for? And I want you to understand, we ought to stop trying to run from the trouble. We ought to welcome the trouble, count it joy when you fall into the various kinds of things. Understand that God is up to something else. And not only must you have a joyous attitude and a ready mind, but then you got to have a submissive spirit. Listen, submit to it, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, okay? And he goes on to say, look at this. If any man lack wisdom, and we all do, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and doesn't put anybody down. When you're going through a trial, sometimes the trial can be so severe that you don't understand what it is. So you need then to ask God for the wisdom to understand what's going on. What is it, God, that you want me to learn from this? That's my question when trouble comes. Is God, what is it that I'm to learn from this? I really hate preaching this. I hate preaching it from the standpoint that I'm apprehensive that trouble's coming. That God might make me live this out next week. But I still have got to be faithful to the word and expose it, because there are a lot of people who are in the midst of trouble right now. And are bitter and angry. And God doesn't want you to be bitter and angry. God wants you to have a joyous attitude. God wants you to have the knowledge that he is up to something that's going to do something good for you and for your faith. And if you are at that place and you can't understand it, then James is saying, ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Submit to the trial. Give in to it, because you know it's going to do something good for you. And when you submit to it and you don't understand it, you can ask God, God, give me more wisdom. That's my prayer today. And when people ask me now, Pastor, how can I pray for you? That's what I want you to pray for me for, is more wisdom. More wisdom to handle the daily load. More wisdom to keep my mind focused right. More wisdom to understand that whatever God is bringing, God has a good intent that's laid out for me. So that I don't have to get ugly with people. I don't have to come out of character. I don't have to lose form. I don't have to embarrass myself. I don't have to belittle myself. I don't have to do things that are unbecoming of a child of God. And so when you have the wisdom to see and to understand what it is, then you can handle yourself in appropriate ways. All of those are necessary to get you to be able to endure. See, you can't just endure because you are so strong and you can endure. No, you can't. Paul said, listen, he said that God had given me a thorn in my flesh. The messenger of Satan sent to beat me up. And I prayed 3 times, God, remove this thing from me. And God said, no. He said, I don't want to remove it. What I want to do is to help you understand that in your weakness, then I can make you strong. Let me give you a little dose of wisdom about the meaning of what's going on and what I intend to get out of you and to get from you as a result of you going through. Now, I wish today that America would receive the wisdom of God as a result of going through this pandemic. So that on the other side of it, when we have endured it, we will not look at one another in the same ways that we have looked at people prior to. That we won't be wanting to treat people with disdain because they happen to be different from ourselves. We shouldn't even look at church anymore the same way that we looked at church. Just a rote, just a routine, just somewhere to go or something to do. God is creating a greater hunger and a greater thirst to want to be in his presence. And I know that God is working that, and he's trying our patience. I was talking Wednesday on the podcast at the noon hour about how pandemics end. And I said pandemics from a historic standpoint, based upon a news article that I had read, end in one of two ways. in, number one, medically, because they find a medical cure that ultimately wipes out the disease or the virus. And so medical science then lifts their hand in victory, say, we have won, we have overcome, and the pandemic go away. But ultimately, history proves that most pandemics and epidemics do not end in medical victory. There's been only one medical victory, truly total medical victory, and that was over smallpox. But all of the other diseases and epidemics and pandemics have ended not medically, but listen, but socially. Socially. What do you mean socially? That people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then they take it upon themselves to learn to live with it. And that is what I see going on in our society. As states are opening and businesses are opening and now churches are beginning to open, what it's really saying is that we will learn how to live with this virus. We will learn how to cover our face. We will learn how to keep social distance. We will learn how to wash our hands. We will learn how to do whatever it is that we do. And 5 years or 10 years from now, when it no longer even a part of the discussion, we'll look and see how we were able to endure it. And God will get the glory. And God will get the victory. And so it is, not just with coronavirus or COVID-19, but with every trial that comes through your life. When I look back over my life and I see from whence I've come, and I see the trials and the tests and all of the things that have been lying in my way, and I see that God brought me through every one of them, I know today, and I can say today, that I have true faith. Not because I'm such a wonderful person, but because I've been able to endure it. Because I've been able to count it joy. Because I've been able to submit myself to it. Because I've been able to ask God for wisdom to understand what's going on and what's going on in my life and what is it that he's up to. And there are so many things that I wish that I had known, but there are so many things that I'm glad that I have learned. How many know today that you would look back at a situation in your life from a different period when you are not the Christian that you are today, and you say to yourself, if I had known what I know now, then I would have handled myself differently. And so what I'm saying, you can't go back there, but you can deal with what's in front of you right now, and you can deal with what's coming down the path. And you can look at those trials, and rather than pull your hair, you can count it all joy. You can know that God is up to something good. He's working endurance in you. And when it gets too much that you don't understand, you can cry out unto him and you can ask him for wisdom. Because ultimately, life is temporary. And he says that. He says that in the same passage. He talks about the difference in a rich man who relies mostly on his riches. And he says that man needs to be careful. He needs to understand that his life is temporary. It's like grass. It's going to grow up, but it's going to wither. And when you have relied on something or someone other than God, you're going to find out that what you have relied on will betray you and leave you hanging. Lack wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, ask God. But when you ask, ask how? In faith, believing that the Lord is going to supply you. Because ultimately, God wants you to be a winner. God wants you to overcome. God wants you to move from the trouble to the place of victory. Trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. There's a blessing on the other side of through. I may have said that too fast, but let me say it one more time. I just like the sound. There's a blessing on the other side of through. When you get through going through and you arrive on the other side of that, raise your hand in victory, knowing that you've overcome. And that is a deep satisfaction. And that deep satisfaction is in your soul, is in your mind. Because you know that you hung in there. You took your blows. You took whatever life threw your way. And you stayed the course until the Lord saw the need to take away the burden or the challenge or the trial. So what I want to say now is a word of encouragement to you. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Be blessed wherever life carries you. Let me encourage you. Let me speak life to you. You can depend on God to see you through. And you can depend on me to pray for you. But it's not just my prayers alone. Yours and your willingness to go through and to do whatever needs to be done. So I want to tell you today, if you're here, if you're outside God's family, you've never trusted Jesus, life will crush you. You won't be able to handle it by yourself. Wherever you are to call on the name of the Lord. Right where you sit, right where you may be. You might be lying in your bed. You can call on the name of the Lord right there. You can say, God, come into my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came into the earth. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he was raised the third day. And I want him to live in me. Somebody else might need to pray a little bit different. Lord, this trial, this challenge is just so much. And I am so afraid. I am so bitter. Change that for me right now. And God will. Whatever your need is today. Looking for a church home? This can be your church home. You can call the membership line now. Someone will answer your call. If you need prayer, if you need support, call us. Someone will pray with you. If you need counseling, someone will walk beside you to help you sort through whatever it is. Whatever your need is, we want you to be blessed. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Come on, we're singing now.
Be blessed, my brother.
Doors open anytime now.
Be blessed, my sister.
Listen at the words.
Be blessed wherever this life leads you.
Let me encourage you.
Let me encourage you.
Let me speak life to you.
Let me speak life.
Yes, you can depend on me.
You can depend on me
to pray for you.
To pray for you. You might be hurting.
Somebody might be hurting right now.
You crying, you might be worrying,
frustrated too,
and frustrated too.
Let me encourage
let
you.
Let me encourage you.
Let me speak
let
life.
Let me speak life to you.
You can depend
you
on God.
Can depend on
Somebody at home ought to feel good about that right about now. Once the trouble is over, you move to the triumph.
I pray for you.
Thank you. I want you to know the trouble is going to end, but you're going to have to endure it. He that endures to the end, that's the one that the Lord is going to reward. God bless you and God keep you, is our prayer. We're going to go now to our closing hymn for the morning as we're going to stand together as we sing. Come into victory in Jesus. Here we go. I heard an old story. I heard an old story. Our Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and victory. Can you sing?
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ. Located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ. Located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205 205- 925-5972 or